And now, here's Warren Marshall with the news.
Good evening. First, here is the official weather forecast from the United States Weather Bureau at the Billings Airport. For Billings and vicinity, cloudy with light to moderate snow and northwesterly winds 25 to 35 miles per hour, causing near blizzard conditions at times early this evening. Snow ending late tonight or early tomorrow morning, decreasing cloudiness Tuesday afternoon. Colder tonight with a low of 18, continued quite cool tomorrow with a high of 30, low tomorrow night 12 above. The regional forecast, snow will spread into northern and eastern Wyoming and the western Dakotas early tonight, and into the eastern Dakotas by tomorrow morning, accompanied by strong northwesterly winds and blizzard conditions at times. Snow will end in northwestern Montana early tonight, and over the most of the state Tuesday forenoon, and in western Dakotas and extreme northern Wyoming tomorrow afternoon. Temperatures will fall to 15 to 25 above in North Dakota, 25 to 35 in South Dakota, 20 to 30 in Wyoming, and 15 to 25 in Montana tonight, except 5 to 15 in northeastern Montana. Tomorrow will be rather cold in most sections, with high temperatures ranging from 25 to 35 in South Dakota and Wyoming, and west of the Continental Divide in Montana, to 15 to 25 in North Dakota and northeastern Montana. On the local side of the news this evening, the Yellowstone Board of County Commissioners today signed the resolution creating the fifth township in Yellowstone County. The board action was taken following a hearing on a petition for the creation of a township submitted by Custer residents. Custer has been in the Warden Township, which Custer residents believe too large to adequately service the town of Custer. The board reported no protests were registered against the petition. Charles Emerson Body, famous Negro minister and lecturer, spoke this morning before the student body of Eastern Montana College of Education on human and race relations. Dr. Body emphasized the fact that in world terms, the white race is in the minority, and that the shrinking of the world through improved methods of communication and transportation has forced man's attention to the necessity of believing in the theory of world brotherhood. Dr. Body will speak before the public tonight at the college auditorium at 8 p.m. His address will be directed to the subject of Christianity and freedom. The current lectures are included in the 1950 series of lectures at Eastern. 10 crew leaders of the Billings District of the Bureau of Census will attend crew leading training schools, the first to be at the Commercial Club from March 8th through March 11th, and the second to be at Eastern Montana College of Education from March 13th through March 15th. The schools will be under the technical advisorship of Mrs. Esther Cooper of this city. She will be assisted by William Long of Billings, irrigation technician. According to District Supervisor Thomas D. Kelly, these crew-leading training schools are being staged for all of the 40 Bureau of Census districts in the continental United States. The local chapter of the Order of Demolay was advised today by the Grand Council that Edwin H. Keith and Harry L. Fine of Billings, former Demolay members, have been awarded the Legion of Honor degree. Mr. Keefe is treasurer of the Keefe Auto Supply Company. Mr. Fine is western manager of the Beacon Falls Rubber Footwear. The Chevalier degree, which is awarded to active Demolay members for work in a local chapter, has been given to Dale Strait, Thomas Larson, Frederick Johnson, and Gilbert Reek. Every year, the Grand Council honors active and former Demolays throughout the nation on the basis of their service to mankind, work in a business or profession, or work in community welfare activities. The names are submitted by delegates attending the annual conference of the Grand Council. This year's conference was staged at Fort Worth, Texas. A murdered man whose body was found Saturday near the highway south of Tustin still has not been identified this evening. Sheriff George Kickbush of Broadwater County says he is sending a package to the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Washington for examination by the FBI Scientific Crime Detection Laboratory. Items being sent in the package include the bullet, taken from the man's head, his clothing, and his fingerprints. Governor John W. Bonner says a special fund to help rehabilitate wayward Montana girls has been set up through the generosity of a Midwest businessman. Mr. Bonner says the money was given to Mrs. Elizabeth Steed, director of the State Vocational School for Girls in Helena, by Charles Ward, president of a St. Paul, Minnesota firm. Ward gave Mrs. Steer $1,000 recently, $1,000 recently after her work to rehabilitate young girls came to his attention. Mrs. Steed established a Charles Ward Fund with the money. She says she will use it for three purposes. One, to get her senior class graduated in June, to finance a business college education for two rehabilitated girls, and to obtain marriage annulments for some underage girls in her care. Governor Bonner says he is extremely gratified that Mrs. Steed's work has received national recognition from a man of Mr. Ward's stature. Well, cautiousness entered the New York stock market today, and prices drifted in a narrow range as the market closed. Settlement of the coal strike, of course, had been anticipated and discounted by the stock list last week, and there were no new incentives. The Dow Jones closing stock averages industrials 204 and 88 hundredths, up 17 hundredths. Railroads 56 and 42 hundredths, off 18 hundredths. Utilities 42 and 90 hundredths, off 11 hundredths. And 65 stocks 74 and 44 hundredths, off 5 hundredths. Sales today totaled 1,470,000 shares against 1,510,000 shares traded last Friday. Wheat, corn, and soybean futures closed sharply higher in trading at Chicago. Oats and rye were irregular. Wheat was up 1 1/4 to 2 cents. Corn gained 1/8 to 1 cent. Oats were off 1/8 to up 1/4. Rye was off 1/2 to up 3/4. And soybeans were up 1/4 to 1 1/4. Wheat was higher, but other grains were irregular at outside markets. Well, on the national and international news scene this evening, this has been a crucial day in the murder trial of Dr. Herman Sander at Manchester, New Hampshire. His boyhood pal, who became an attorney general, hounded him for an answer to the question, why did he inject air into the veins of the woman cancer patient he is accused of slaying? Dr. Sander says his mind snapped. He believed the patient was already dead. It was just the appearance of her face and the remembrance of her long suffering that might have touched me off and made me do something that doesn't make sense, he said. I was obsessed to do it. But he insisted that he believed the patient was dead. And he said, the very fact that she was dead gave me assurance I could do her no harm. Under Finney's questioning, Sanders said he had given the patient larger than usual doses of drugs to ease her pain. Finney said, you knew overdoses might result in a fatality. Dr. Sanders said, overdose is merely a relative term. But the prosecutor said they can be fatal. Is that right? That's right, Sander said, adding, but I didn't consider this an overdose. Sander testified calmly. People in the courtroom leaned forward to catch his testimony, and the jurors listened intently. Sander completed his testimony in just under 4 hours, and he finished up by saying he had no intention of doing harm at any time to his cancer patient. Then he stepped from the stand. Well, the first carloads of coal are rolling out of the minefields, and Mr. John L. Lewis is squaring his debts this evening. While the miners were on strike, CIO unions helped feed the hungry coal diggers and their families. The steel workers pitched in with $500,000. The auto workers showed up with food and other relief assistance. John L. didn't forget. His troubles over, Mr. Lewis moved quickly to the aid of the CIO auto workers who have been on strike for 8 weeks at Chrysler. Lewis offered the auto men a $1 million loan and called upon other great unions to help out, too. The mine union chief intimated the auto workers and the UMW are allies in about the same battle. In the coal contract dispute just settled, he said, the UMW was opposed by allied financial interests associated in a major sense with the financial group that dominates the auto industry. But the biggest news around the fireside is that the coal is coming out of the mines this evening. Carloads of fuel already have been dug from the mines in West Virginia and Kentucky, and a jackpot haul is coming in tonight. Meanwhile, employment is up and unemployment is up. That sounds paradoxical, but the fact is the number of unemployed in February jumped to 4,684,000, the highest since August 1941. That's according to figures released by the Census Bureau today. At the same time, employment in February rose 6,000 above the January total. The striking coal miners were not taken into consideration. The reason the seemingly contradictory figures jibe is that the civilian labor force, everyone looking for a job, continued to rise and reached 64.
Weather information brought to you six nights each week at 6:15 by the Midland National Bank, an institution devoted to service for the people of the Midland Empire and a member of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. In a moment, the latest news and weather, but first, here is Howard Harding with a message from the Midland National Bank.
You know, when a merchant or a store or a businessman sells you an item for a dollar or even $100, it's a pretty fair gamble that he made a legitimate profit over and above his rent, his advertising, the employees' salaries, the glass, the lights, the phone, and, oh, you know, too many different items to mention. And you have helped to pay those expenses, too, or he wouldn't stay in long in business. Now then, when you go to a bank for a loan, you receive 100 cents on the dollar. Yes, right there in your hand. There couldn't possibly be a markup or a special deal or a so-called goodbye, because a dollar's a dollar, no more, no less. And it's yours to do that which you desire. A bank tells you what its profit is, and it's mighty small by most any comparison. The bank, you'll find, is your friend and generally one of your greatest allies in your time of need. The Midland National Bank is just as anxious to sell you dollars as any merchant is to sell you merchandise. And that's why the Midland National Bank encourages you to buy dollars from them. You'll always find that the Midland National Bank officers and the employees are courteous. They're willing to be of assistance to you no matter what your business. The Midland National Bank feels that it can't overstate the importance to you of saving for a purpose. And when it's a loan you need, just try for once the Midland National Bank.
And now we take you to the U.S. Weather Bureau office, the Billings Airport, for the latest official weather information.
Good evening. This is Ray Kernan with the weather summary and forecasts. Last night and today, a strong surge of Pacific air moved through Montana and into the western Dakotas and northern Wyoming, followed by colder air spreading in from the north. This storm, which was centered in southwestern Montana at this time yesterday evening, is now centered over the eastern Dakotas, and the strong winds with snow and blowing snow and near blizzard conditions are now spreading into the western Dakotas. Here in Billings, the snow is gradually decreasing, but blowing snow with 25 to 35 mile per hour northwesterly winds with near blizzard conditions at times will be continuing during the early part of the night, with the snow ending and the wind decreasing during the latter part of the night, and cloudiness decreasing tomorrow afternoon. It will be colder tonight, with the lowest temperature near 18 above. Tomorrow, the high temperature will be near 30, and the lowest tomorrow night, about 12 above. Flying conditions for the operation of light aircraft will not be favorable during the early part of tomorrow forenoon due to scattered snow showers and surface winds between 20 to 25 miles per hour. But during the afternoon, the clouds will be breaking and the surface winds will be decreasing for local operations. The highest wind here at the Billings Airport today occurred during the latter part of the forenoon when the wind reached northwesterly 47 miles per hour with gusts to 55 miles per hour. Most places east of the Continental Divide in Montana experienced gusty winds today between 35 and 45 miles per hour or higher, and near blizzard conditions. During the past 18 hours, some beneficial amounts of precipitation were reported over Montana. Here at the Billings Airport, we received 0.6 of an inch. Lewistown reported 0.18, Kalispell 0.57, Cutbank 0.07, Great Falls 0.76, Helena 0.32, Bozeman 0.28, and Havre 0.85. Our high temperature today was 46. Miles City reported 36, Sheridan 58, Livingston 35, and Cody 38. Here again is the forecast for Billings and vicinity. Cloudy with light snow at times and blowing snow with northwesterly winds 25 to 35 miles per hour causing near blizzard conditions at times early tonight, with the snow ending late tonight and cloudiness decreasing tomorrow afternoon. It will be colder tonight with the lowest 18 and continued quite cold tomorrow with a high around 30. The low tomorrow night will be 12 above. That's all from the Weather Bureau for now. Here again is your announcer.
Our next weather broadcast will be heard at 11 o'clock this evening. And now here's Howard Harding and the news.
The big coal strike just ended has overshadowed the strike at plants of the Chrysler Motor Company. That strike is now 7 weeks old, and John L. Lewis has just come out with an offer of a $1 million loan to aid the CIO auto workers in the Chrysler strike. Lewis made the offer to the auto workers president, Walter Reuther, in a letter saying that the policy committee of the United Mine Workers had authorized it. Lewis said that the Mine Workers Union hopes that the other unions in the CIO and the FFL will extend similar aid. And Lewis's offer is seen as a response to the gift check for $500,000 which CIO President Philip Murray sent to the mine workers in their contract flight. In offering a loan of $1 million to the CIO Auto Union, John L. Lewis emphasized the current Chrysler strike, but he made it clear that the mine union authorized the loan for the overall Auto Union drive. Lewis mentioned only Chrysler by name, but he implied that the loan could be used to help defray expenses of the coming contract talks with General Motors. Meanwhile, the back-to-work parade of the nation's coal mines is picking up fast. One coal state after another reports that the miners are flocking back to their jobs. The back-to-work movement got off to a slow start this morning, with only about 30,000 miners on hand for the early shifts. A good many of the diggers waited until they got the official word from Mr. John L. Lewis at the traditional union meetings. Nearly all of the miners are expected to be digging coal again by nightfall. The railroads have paced the return to work in coal-allied industries. Coal-carrying roads have recalled thousands of furloughed employees, and the big steel firms are acting a bit more slowly. One steel firm says it will be 3 weeks before full production is resumed, and it will take at least a week to replenish the coal supplies. The coal miners in Wyoming and Utah reported back in the pits today. But in Montana and Colorado, the men aren't expected to be back to work before tomorrow. Miners in all four states seem to be very happy about the new contract signed by the United Mine Workers Union. And Wall Street reflected the end of the coal strike today with small gains on many leading stocks. At one point in today's trading, the demand for railroad and industrial shares lifted the general price level to its highest point in more than 3 years. Now that the coal strike has been settled, why, President Truman has decided to take another Florida vacation. The White House announced today that the president will leave Washington next Sunday morning for a 3-week stay in his favorite vacation spot, Key West, Florida. The president this time will make the trip by water aboard the presidential yacht Williamsburg. The yacht will tie up the pier near the little White House in the Key West and will be used to provide accommodations for the overflow of the White House personnel. A report out of France says that the foreign ministers of the big three nations, Britain, France, and the United States, will meet in London next month. The report comes from one of the ministers, French Foreign Minister Robert Schuman. He says the big three diplomats will discuss a possible meeting with Russia. And sources at the French Foreign Office say that the date of the meeting has been set for April the 12th, the same date foreign ministers of the 12 Atlantic Pact nations meet for discussion of mutual defense. In Washington, however, the State Department says that no date has been set for the big three meeting. The French premier's announcement said that the big three also will discuss the Far East, including Japan, relations with communist China, aid to the Southeast Asia, and Germany. When King George opened the British Parliament today, he made no mention of one of the most talked about subjects in the British Isles, and that's the nationalization of the steel and the iron industries. Now Prime Minister Attlee says we should not take that omission as a sign of the Labour government's backing down. Attlee said that the laborites have not the slightest intention of dropping the nationalization of steel and iron. Said he, the statute is on the statute books and our purpose is to give effect to the acts passed by Parliament. The nationalization law is slated to take effect the 1st of October with the actual takeover due in January. The Attlee statement was a challenge to Winston Churchill's conservatives to fight out the issue of nationalization in spite of a Labor Party's shaky majority in Parliament. Britain's Prime Minister Attlee also had something to say of the talk about Britain's security services in connection with the case of scientist Klaus Fuchs. Attlee said, there has been a great deal of loose talk suggesting inefficiency on the part of the security service. He said, he takes full responsibility for the efficiency of the security service and entirely denied all charges. The British government today issued a white paper on defense. It discloses that Great Britain will add $56 million to her defense budget this year, but at the same time will reduce the personnel of her armed forces. The total British defense budget amounts to about $2 billion, and that compares rather feebly with the $3.5 billion President Truman has asked for this country. Latest returns from Sunday's election in Greece put a leftist party, the National Progressive Union, in the lead. The party holds more than 12,000 votes over the nearest conservative opposition. The heavy leftist vote in Greece is proving a surprise to politicians. Conservative opponents are saying that the parties of the left attracted considerable communist support, and the communists were outlawed in the Sunday election. The stock market gave up an early advance today and finished about even with previous levels. The initial rise, attributed to optimism over the resumption of the soft coal mining, had carried the average price level to its best in more than 3 years. Profit-taking chipped away the gains, however. Sales totaled 1,470,000 shares. In all, 1,113 issues were traded. Of these, 410 advanced, 401 declined, and 302 remained unchanged. The Associated Press 60 stock average was unchanged at 74.2. The bond market at New York was higher, and cotton futures at New York closed 50 cents a bale higher to 35 cents lower. At Chicago, wheat closed 1 1/4 to 2 cents higher. Corn was 1/8 to 1 cent higher. Oats were 1/8 to 1/4 higher. Rye was 1/2 lower to 3/4 higher. Soybeans were 1/4 to 1 1/4 higher. And in the livestock market of Chicago, the hog prices were steady to 25 cents higher, with the top at 17.50, and cattle were steady to 50 cents higher, with the choice absent. The State Board of Examiners tomorrow will open bids for construction of the Montana Veterans and Pioneers Memorial Building. The building has been planned for several years, and there is now $725,000 available for construction, and it will be built in Helena. A Great Falls woman, Mrs. William Madison, is the new president of the Montana Augustana, a Lutheran Church Women's Missionary Society. She was elected at the annual meeting yesterday in Helena. It was held in conjunction with a planning conference for the Luther League summer camp. Other officers included second vice president, Mrs. Ralph Lindquist of Great Falls. And for those of you who are driving, the highway department says that chains are needed on McDonald Pass near Helena and on some roads leading out of Butte. Highway 87 was plugged by drifts from Great Falls to Belt, where a 53-mile-per-hour gale roared in with snow and sleet early today. Some other roads are dangerously slippery in spots. A British decision to cut imports of American oil in order to save dollars seems to have backfired. The Economic Cooperation Administration, ECA, says it's cutting off aid for the British oil industry, and the aid for British oilmen will stay cut off. The ECA said that until that oil matter is ironed out to the American satisfaction. An ECA spokesman says that it's true that the British need to conserve dollars, but he said curtailment of oil imports is likely to harm world recovery. The Chinese nationalists are still sitting tight in the United Nations, and the Russians are still walking out. It happened again today. The executive board of the International Children's Emergency Fund convened. The nationalists showed up. So did the Russians. The Russians took one look at the nationalists, and then out they went, with the satellite delegations trailing behind them. And that's all of the news as of now.
Bank credit is the best credit. Whether your credit needs are modest or involve large sums of money, bank credit is ideal for your purposes. The Midland National Bank has always been keenly interested in the credit and financial needs of this community, and its officers have a thorough knowledge of the whole subject. They'll give your problems and your needs the same understanding attention, no matter what sums are involved. In a great many cases, they can make valuable suggestions that will assist you greatly. No matter what your financial problem is, stop in at the Midland Bank and discuss it with financial experts.